This program is a paid commercial announcement from Jacob Media Partners and does not reflect the views of WPHT or its management. Today's program is pre-recorded.
Welcome to Your Valuable Home, the show that's about education for homeowners and residential real estate investors, because educated buyers make smart choices on home purchases and improvements. I'm contractor Kevin Kennedy, host of Your Valuable Home.
Yes, and I'm Ron Milk, producer and co-host. If you're a homeowner or have investment real estate, we've got your back.
You'll learn how to choose a contractor, get and compare estimates, check quality construction, avoid huge upfront payments. We'll share home improvement trends, projects in the works, and homeowner horror stories.
We interview experts from across the country about everything from new building products, homeowners insurance, leveraging home equity, what's hot in real estate, which products make for an unhealthy home, and much more.
Your Valuable Home airs here Sundays at 6 p.m. thanks to Tom Adams Windows and Carpets, with four locations in Churchville, Southampton and Doylestown, and Whitehall in the Lehigh Valley.
Tom Adams is the friendly, family-owned place known for award-winning installation and customer service and a wide selection of windows, doors, flooring, siding, and much more. Tom Adams has been satisfying customers throughout the region for 65 years. Check out TomAdamsWC.com or call 215-357-7000.
WPHT, WPHT HD, WOGL HD3, Philadelphia.
A radio.com station. Now, from the Malamut and Associates Law Studios.
Welcome home to Your Valuable Home with Kevin Kennedy and Ron Milk, presented by Tom Adams Windows and Carpets. If you own a home, this show's for you. If you own rental real estate, this show's for you. Get educated from the pros. They have your back when it comes to improving your real estate. It's Your Valuable Home. Your Valuable Home.
I want to thank our listeners for coming back. We got another great show we're going to talk about. I tell you, it's great to talk about my project, Ron. And I know we did a lot of replays on my house, talking about exactly what I was doing, the siding, the windows, the kitchen that were done. But we never really got a true perspective of why I'm doing all this. And we're going to have my mother-in-law, Carol, who's going to come on and talk about the whole project and what she is seeing through day one, where we put the shovel in the ground, to now, and she's ready to move in. So, Carol, thanks for coming in on and doing this.
Carol?
So the first question is, I always ask everybody, is when you are in the process of doing all this, and I, we talked a couple times, we had Bob on the air, my father-in-law, to talk about steps that we were going to go through planning as we got closer and got closer. I know we got a delay with the COVID, but we're there, we're done, we're about 99% done. She was just over, maybe about an hour ago, she looked at it so she can get her thoughts together and talk about the project. Tell me, what do you think of how, from start to finish, what are you looking at?
I am just blown away with the size of it, because I was expecting not something as grandiose as it is. I'm very impressed with it.
All right, and how far are you from moving in? How close are you to moving in?
Our settlement date is August 24th, and we're planning on moving August 20th.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I watched. I watched in the early stages. I was down, and Kevin took me on a grand tour of it. And it's amazing how that whole house has been transformed in just 2 months. You know, it's just amazing to me.
It's beyond amazing what Kevin and my daughter Lori have put up through all of this renovation. Is just beyond what anybody should really have to put up with. I mean, they lived in a small, their small living room while my place was being built, because there was just so much that had to be done from start to finish. And it was such a disruption to their house that if you saw it, you would not ever believe that something could be done as wonderful as this apartment is finished now.
I did see it. I saw it when things were studded out, and they were in the kitchen having hot dogs, a hot dog break one night. So I did see it, and it's amazing, because I've seen some pictures of the almost completed project. It is amazing what the transformation.
From the start to almost finish now, having to meet with the architect and come up with plans, and my original plan was just astronomical, and we really had to back it down quite a bit to keep within our budget. Kevin just, I'm sure he had many sleepless nights trying to figure out what he could do for us to please us, to make it doable for his family. The whole transformation just was unbelievable.
And you're moving from a, how big is your house now that you live in?
Probably about 2,600 square feet, a two floor. We have a big in-law addition on our house, which is nothing compared to the one that Kevin built for us. Actually, the one that we have on, in our house was basically for one person. What Kevin did for us is for two people, and at a very spacious building. I just can't describe how it has exceeded my expectations.
That's fantastic. So essentially what you're doing is you're moving from a single family home into a really big apartment, right?
Single family home. It's another single family home, Ron. It's that big.
Kevin keeps telling me that what I'm living in is probably maybe half the size of what I'm giving up here. So that makes me very happy.
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah, you know, at a certain age, you don't want all that work and everything anymore, right?
No, and that was the impetus for us moving. My husband and I are just tired of taking care of a house. We have 3/4 of an acre. So when Kevin and Lori proposed this offer to us, we did a lot of soul searching. We actually did a spreadsheet of pros and cons of moving from a total life care to a condo to this. And this just really suited our needs. We're going to be with our wonderful son-in-law and wonderful daughter and just two loving, loving grandchildren. So our needs are really going to be met in this gorgeous apartment.
Yeah, I'll tell you, with COVID-19 upon us now, it sort of highlights one of the downsides, which I don't think anybody probably thought about before, of the CCRC, the Continuing Care Retirement Community. Not that I'm against them. I'm very much for them. I don't know if they'll ever be for me, but I know a couple of people who are in them, and they were basically quarantined in their units, and people brought food to them through that whole, you know, dark period. So it's something to consider if you're considering a CCRC. You know, I think what you did here is a very smart idea.
Well, thank you. And we agree. And from what our realtor has told us, that people now are looking to get out of the city to get into a single home. So the timing for us couldn't have been better. We're probably the only people that really got to utilize the COVID quarantine, because it just helped us with planning things, and it enabled our daughter, who's a school teacher, to be off from school to help us. There was just a lot of things that really went in our favor during this COVID, as opposed to other people who really had it tough.
Yeah. Some people really did have it tough, too. So, no, I think you made a very, very smart move. And I think I saw the amount of space there. I saw it before it was drywalled, so I'm sure it looks a lot different now. But it looked pretty spacious to me. And frankly, the reason I bought my house, I have a townhouse, is because to me it was like a big New York apartment. You know, I never really wanted anything huge. So it makes life a lot more manageable, you know. And I live in a community, active adult community, where they come and cut the grass, they take the snow away, they take the trash away, and you don't worry about all that stuff, which I did years ago. I'm done with that. I'm over it. So it looks like you're over it too. Kevin's not going to have you out there cutting the grass, is he?
I certainly hope not. You know, I might pull a few weeds from his vegetable garden, but that's as far as I'm going into the yard.
All right. So, Kev,
that's one thing nice about moving in like that. We thought about it.
20, right? Huh? Kevin?
Yeah, well, we're going to be done before that. And we're going to be done. Yeah, we have just odds and ends we're going to be doing that make touch-ups is what we're going to be doing. But within the next couple of days, we're done 100%. And before we get wrapping up here, I know we're getting tight on time. I want to give a lot of shout-outs. One to Tom Adams for doing such a great job on the flooring throughout the entire place, my house, their house, all the products that I bought from Tom Adams. The house on Facebook and Instagram, you can take a look at it. I am starting to post the pictures now. They were fantastic to deal with. They've got the greatest products, and you can see the quality of what we purchased from Tom Adams and the great workmanship they did on all the floors. Carol, thanks for coming on and talking about the KKRC, the Kevin Kennedy Retirement Community that I built for them. I tell you, it was great. Go ahead.
Carol, what were you going to say? I'll interject one thing here, too. I think the more we talk about that, I think you're going to see a lot more of this kind of thing happening in the near future, because it makes a lot of sense and economically feasible for a lot of families.
Well, I can honestly say that a lot of prayer went into this, and our prayers were answered after every hurdle that came about. So this has just been just a wonderful experience.
Well, Kevin does good work.
Well,
it speaks for itself.
Yeah, I tell you. I enjoyed listening to this replay. It was really great to hear that. It makes me feel good. It brought a tear to my eye. So I'm really thankful, and I'm really looking forward to getting the in-laws back and living back of us. And Carol, I do appreciate your time for coming on, and I'm really looking forward to it. We're going to have you back on once you get moved in so we can let our listeners know the finals, and we'll get the pictures up. So you're listening here to Your Value Home on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
And stick with us. We've got a great college coming up with Caroline Blazovsky, America's Healthy Home Expert. We're going to be talking about how you cope with COVID in your home and when you go on vacation.
Tonight's edition of Your Valuable Home is brought to you by Tom Adams Windows and Carpets. Is your door letting in the heat or bugs? Then head to Tom Adams Windows and Carpets to upgrade your old drafty door. Right now, save up to $900 on entry doors and up to 15% on storm doors. You can even save $500 on patio doors. Enjoy lifetime installation warranty on all their products. Their doors will be the last doors you buy for your home. Get a free in-home estimate. Go to TomAdamsWC.com. TomAdamsWC.com. Hurry, the sale ends August 9th. Home improvement projects on hold? Understandable. But some things just can't wait. Like failing windows. Chances are there's water intrusion, possibly mold. Make the most of your money by doing critical projects in phases. Take windows. In phase one, tackle the one or two sides of the house that get the most weather. Phase two can wait till the coronavirus subsides and you have more money. Planning an in-law suite? In phase one, select the contractor and architect and get a design plan. Then in phase two, determine if you need a new septic system and secure permits. Kevin Kennedy's VSP Home Remodeling can help you figure out which projects to tackle now in phases. With VSP, you deal directly with the owner. Kevin and his foreman of 23 years are always part of the team. They do most of the installation and other work. With VSP, you get a licensed company with workers' comp and liability that exceeds the requirement and 30 years of award-winning on-time, on-budget excellence. VSP Home Remodeling. Call 215-364-3286 about those home improvement projects that just can't wait. 215-364-3286.
For our host, Kevin Kennedy, call him directly, 215-364-3286.
All right, thank you, everybody, for coming back to the horror story. I know it's one of our favorite segments, beside the college. The horror stories are great to hear because it's people sometimes just not listening. They've got the education from our show to understand to do it correctly. And just by talking to a few people just recently and talking about some of the things that we talked about on the show, because I like to get as much information so we can get it out to our listeners. And we just recently had on a gentleman who was an engineer, and we talked about certain areas where homeowners and builders and contractors are really still missing the boat. So Ron, we had Robert on talking about flashing issues and engineering issues with stucco and windows and how contractors today are still not doing it. They're just not doing it. And with the information for the past 10 years that have been online, my question to everybody is, why aren't you contractors and builders still not doing it correctly? That's what I want to talk to you about today.
Well, yeah, I think my personal point of view on that is that during a certain period of time that started probably around 2000, okay, and probably continues to this day, It's 20 years of, getting buildings up as fast as you possibly can, getting them sold, getting people in so you can get your money. And, it was a building boom, but the building boom had, bad workmanship backlash. And that's why you're always going to be in business, Kev.
You know, I've been saying that for years, that I am going to be in business. But the problem I have, what bothers me, is it makes us look bad when you got so many bad contractors out there thinking that they're good and they're not. So I was just recently driving down there at the Shore House, and I'm watching the new places that are going up. They're going up all over the place in Ocean City. And I see a couple of them are done right, and there's still a bunch of them that are done wrong. Now, the way a new building goes up from prior, now this is going back prior, is that the framer, once they get done framing, they want to get the windows in for these high wind areas. You don't want wind blowing through there. So what the framers do is they are the ones to install the windows. But they're still just putting a piece of tar paper or a piece of Tyvek under the window. It's still not addressing the issues of those windows. And there is a way to do it, but it's still done wrong. And well, is there any one big builder that I've seen?
Why is that? Are they just rushing through it, or don't they know what they're doing?
One of the places around our area I found out is just a gentleman who's has a lot of money and is starting to get into the business of home building. There's a way to do it, but of course the experience needs to be there. So the person that he hired to do the general contracting has no experience, because if you knew the problems from back of the going 10 years ago with the stucco situation, you would understand that these areas need to be addressed. Ron, how many times have we talked about stucco or window problems that are leaking, that are rotting the house out?
Absolutely. I mean, I know two people currently who had their stucco houses redone because they're going to get ready to sell them in the next couple of years, and they were afraid they weren't going to sell because they're stucco and the problems they encountered. And one of the two, with a pretty big house, found a number of problems when they ripped everything off. So it happens, Happens on expensive houses, it happens on mid-priced houses. It just happens because people either don't know what they're doing, or they rush through the whole process, and then the homeowner's left with problems. So that's why I say you're always going to be busy.
Yeah, well, you keep saying there's problems, but there shouldn't be a problem. It's really not too hard to figure out. I don't think of myself as anybody special. I just know that if you're going to be doing something, let's do it right. Yes, it's going to cost a little bit more money, but by doing it right, my customers are repeat customers, but I'm not doing their work over again. When I do your siding, it's done for 50 years. When I'm doing your windows, we're done. When I'm doing your bathroom, and the reason why I'm getting the callbacks is because they're not having these problems. The workmanship's great. They're clean. We do exactly what we say we're going to do, and that's how I get my business. But what I look at is when these people are buying these new homes or getting work done where they're not getting it done correctly, they're having to rip it out and redo it again. And it's at the homeowner's expense. It's not at the contractor's expense, because they can go out of business pretty quickly. So if it is at the homeowner's expense.
Stop and think about the two cases I just put out there. Both of them ripped everything off. Both of them went to a combination of stone and hardy board. Okay. Had to be, one house is probably 5,000 square feet. The other house is a big, big house. Had to be well over $100,000 in both cases, right? I'm guessing,
easy.
Right?
Easy, absolutely.
Yeah, so it's like money you really don't want to spend on something like that, because you bought the house once, you don't want to buy it twice.
I tell you, the best thing is when we were getting our house done, there's two inspectors here in Northampton. And I remember the last job we did, we were talking about the one inspector showing up at my job because he wanted to see the extra amount of work that we do around the windows. Because you'll see on my Facebook and Instagram the pictures that are up there. And it was talking around the windows. I put this polymer Craftsman style around that. I said, well, that will probably leak, but look what we do in the stages under that. So I told him we put another layer under the trim board. Then I put drip cap completely around. And I'm really doing that not so much for the moisture, which is going to take about 98% of the shedding water correctly. But I said, I look down the side. I don't want to see white. I want to see the color of the siding. So I take the time to do that. Then I tape it to the Tyvek. And then now that's sealed. And then under that is a layer of rubber. Then under that is a nail and flange. Then there's sealant. Then there's spray foam insulation. That's all under there. So it's got to go through all those layers to get there. So the inspector wanted to stop by and take pictures step by step so he can start showing other contractors how to do it. Don't you find that funny that inspector's doing that? Shouldn't you, the contractor, know how to do this? At least take some precautions so people don't have these problems? That's the problem I have with these contractors today. They're just not giving the homeowners the correct information and doing the job right. And even when I see it on Facebook, I got a couple of people that I know, they're doing some roofs and they're showing that out, or they're advertising. That advertising, they're still not getting that ice and weather shield done correctly. Even with GAF putting very specific on how to lay the ice and weather shield out, they're just not doing it correctly. And these are problems that I see that shouldn't be there.
Let me ask you something. Let me put something out there. With all the problems that we know that exist today, largely with stucco-built homes, does it make sense to have your home inspected periodically? And the reason I say that, I mean, moisture tests don't have to be, they can be done from the inside. You hardly even know it was done. But if you can get a problem when it just starts instead of getting a problem after it gets to be a huge problem, maybe you save yourself some money that way. Does it make sense?
It could, but if you hire the contractor, the right contractor from the beginning, you're not going to have any problems. I don't have these problems because we spend the time and money to do it correctly. So I haven't had any of these problems for 30 years that we've been in business. So that's why I'm just letting people out. If you're going to be doing this, there's ways to do it right. If you have any questions, give us a call here at the show. And I'd like to get a contractor's perspective to talk about some of these things. So if you want to come on the air, give me a call at 215-364-3286. I'd like to hear about what you, the contractor, thinks also. So you're hearing not just my side. I want to get your side and we can talk about it. So Ron, what do we got coming up for the college?
Well, we got a tremendous college coming up. Carolyn Blazowski, frequent contributor to the show. She's going to be talking about COVID-19 and how you protect yourself in your home and when you go on vacation. So stick with us.
All right. You're listening to Your Valuable Home right here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Tonight's edition of Your Valuable Home is brought to you by Tom Adams Windows and Carpets. Is your door letting in the heat or bugs? Then head to Tom Adams Windows and Carpets to upgrade your old drafty door. Right now, save up to $900 on entry doors and up to 15% on storm doors. You can even save $500 on patio doors. Enjoy lifetime installation warranty on all their products. Their doors will be the last doors you buy for your home. Get a free in-home estimate. Go to TomAdamsWC.com. TomAdamsWC.com. Hurry, the sale ends August 9th.
Welcome home. This is Your Valuable Home, presented by Tom Adams Windows and Carpets.
I want to thank our listeners for coming back to Your Valuable Home right here on 1210 WPHT. I tell you, Ron, this is one of the interviews that I was really looking forward to, and I've been saying it for years and years on the air, and I'm just going to let you introduce the fantastic person that we're going to have on the air right now.
Well, and a regular to the show, too. Carolyn Blazowski, America's Healthy Home Expert. Welcome back to the show, Carolyn.
Hey, guys. How are you? How's everybody doing?
No, you got a lot of good information to impart again today, right?
I do.
Okay. Well, listen, what we're going to be talking about today is COVID round one and getting ready for round two. How do you guard against COVID in your home, particularly if somebody in a family comes down with it? So how do you do that? I know you got a lot of suggestions. We talked about this yesterday, but what do you do?
So COVID has forced us to fight this virus, right, in two places. One, obviously at a hospital when somebody's sick, but then two, when we come home and just dealing with it in our home environments. So it's really important that people start really taking precautions at home. We know we're going to get a second wave of this. It's just a matter of time. So there's a lot of technologies we're using now. There's also just a lot of education and ways that we can operate in our homes that is more effective. So we can kind of talk about that if you want, about the, you know, you want to talk about the technology first?
Yeah, let's do that. I mean, you made a couple suggestions to me, both of which I took to heart. And so let's talk about that, the UV and a pulse ox.
So UV technology, or what we call UVC, when you look up in the sun or you go outside, you're exposed to what's called UVA or UVB. The technology we use to fight things like viruses and bacteria is what we call UVC technology. And it's a UV light. You wouldn't notice it any different than a tanning bed, right? It's that blue light that sort of hits the air. You can't look at it when it's in your house, so we utilize it a lot in ductwork systems like the HVAC. And so what we're doing is we're installing what's called medical grade or high output lamps inside a return. also when someone in the building, say you were to have someone in an office or someone in a dental office or maybe a physician's office or in your home is sick and they cough, this germ doesn't get, or this virus doesn't get pushed through, you know, the recirculated airstream through the return duct and then get pushed out into other aspects and places in the home. So we've been using a lot of this UVC in the ductwork, and it's very effective. There were studies in China during this whole, you know, the outbreak in Wuhan where people got sick. They had everybody social distancing, everybody had a mask on, but yet the entire restaurant came down with COVID. And one of the reasons that they traced it back was to the HVAC system. So that's why, like at our company, we're doing a lot now with the HVAC treatment and treating the air just in case somebody in the building's sick, Ron or Kevin, you know, that they're accidentally sick and they don't know it, and then they don't cough near a return and pull it through the whole building.
That's very, very well. What do you do? What do you do if you're on, if you take a vacation and you rent a house, the family rents a house, or you're in a hotel? How can you be sure that that won't happen to you in that environment?
Well, the bigger thing that we worry about, I think, is the transmission that happens in the air. So if somebody were actually sick and then they cough, we know that the COVID virus can linger for a long time in the air. So I think the first thing to do is, like, not transition over to, you know, if you're going to, say, a timeshare or you're going to a rental, make sure there's subsequent time between one person leaving and the other person leaving. So if you could go a 3-day period or a 2-day period to make sure that you don't have really anything flying around in the airstream that could affect somebody, I think that would be helpful. So you don't want to take over immediately when somebody leaves. And then the other thing you want to do is try to really wipe down surfaces, you know, when you get there, and using some hydrogen peroxide based product, I think, works the best. We're finding a lot of these disinfection products actually can burn the skin. They have carcinogenic properties. They have high VOCs. So there were a lot of people ending up in the hospital from using a lot of the disinfection, which isn't good, right? We're trying to fight one problem and then we're creating another. So the least invasive things you can use, you know, using a lot of soap and water, washing your hands, making sure you're washing sheets and all of that good stuff at a high temperature. We've talked about that before, over 140 degrees. I think all of that helps. And so if you're taking over a rental or doing something like that, make sure you're taking some of those precautions, and also, you know, not, and try not to take over right away immediately after someone has occupied the space.
Well, would it help too, Caroline, to have a UVC wand? And on down the like the countertops and things like that?
Yep, absolutely. You can use a UVC wand. The only thing with the wands is that you don't know the direct application time. So I like we've talked about before, what's called the phone soap, things that actually can direct you and have a time period. So it'll say 10 minutes for an application, and you know it kills 99% of the virus or the bacteria. So, you know, the wand is a little challenging because you don't know how much you need to wand it to actually affect the surface. But, you know, if you can find high output devices that actually do tell you a specific time period to reach that 99% effectiveness, then that's what I would recommend. You know, some of these things can be gimmicky and then they don't really work well. So try to make sure if you're using UVC technology, it's been tested.
You know, a question that's popped into my mind a couple times is, because I was just away for a week in on the Jersey Shore, and we're planning to go away again in August to another shore point. And the question is, if you find yourself getting it there, what do you do? What do you do?
You mean, so if you're away on vacation and you find out you have COVID?
Yeah. Do you stay there?
Well, I mean, I guess you really want to just try to affect the least amount of people possible. So I guess if it was an option for you to stay there, you know, you would try. Wherever you're going to minimize exposure to other people, I think that's the key to this whole thing. And so, you know, I guess if it meant, you know, keeping yourself quarantined and staying in that location for 14 days, then that would be the wiser choice. Wherever it would be the least exposure.
Well, if you took a plane to where you vacation, you definitely want to stay there, right?
You definitely would want to stay there. Absolutely.
But if it's drivable, mm-hmm, and you can make it home in one shot, you probably want to go home, right?
It depends on your partner too, because then you're going to be in close contact. Well, say you have another kid, you have a child, and then you have two kids and you've got another adult in the car. Being in that confined space with them, you would probably end up transmitting it. So it'd probably be better to stay put and just stay in that environment and quarantine yourself in that particular home or location.
Yeah, a lot of things to think about that we never had to think about before, right?
That's right. Absolutely. Okay. But the goal is to try to expose the least amount of people, for sure. You know, that, and however you can do that, that's the key.
All right. Talk about the pulse ox. I got one. I talked to you about it, and I got one through Amazon, and I use it. I use it a couple times a week. Talk about that. Yeah. I think it's a very useful device.
Yeah, I think that is a really helpful thing to have in the home, you know, just to check, be able to check your pulse ox, your oxygen saturation level. And then also, and I think it's good for allergies, asthma, to make sure you're getting the right amount of oxygen. And you can talk to your physician about it. Like, I'm not a doctor, but you can actually talk to your doctor and keep levels. Like, find out, you know, monitor what your pulse ox is, monitor your pulse rate, give that information to your physician. It also helps when you're doing telemedicine calls. So the more information you can provide during a telemedicine call to your physician is great. So, you know, this is my environment, this is what we're doing here. Give them a picture as to what's going on. You know, this is my pulse ox level. All of that stuff, even blood pressure. We gave my mom, it's a thing called a Cardia. It's K-A-R-D-I-A. And it's an app that actually takes a full EKG. It does a six-lead EKG, or you can do a one-lead. And it tells you your whole EKG. And she had a fantastic time with her cardiologist. They had a conversation, and he was like, oh, my God, this is amazing. How do you have all this information? And she's like, my daughter's really into technology. And so she could provide him a full EKG, her blood pressure, her pulse ox, all over telemedicine. So I think that's all useful stuff. You know, anything you can use to help provide the doctor more information and not have to be exposed to any office and subject yourself to potentially getting a virus is great.
Yeah, I think I'm going to get one of those for myself. I've seen them and I tried them, and I think they're a great idea. I've got a heart situation going on, so it makes a lot of sense for me. And you know what? Telemedicine, everybody, I think, is finding out that they don't need to be in a specific place anymore to talk to a doctor, get the advice of the doctor, go to work, right? So I think telemedicine is probably, this is going to kick off a new age in telemedicine, this whole COVID thing. And the more information, you're right, that you can provide to cardiologists or whoever, the better off you are, right?
Yeah. And those cardias, for example, like we have one, I have one, so I have firsthand experience. I mean, they really give a detailed analysis. They have professional cardiologists reading that for you. And you also have the ability to check for things like AFib and irregular heartbeats and your pulse rate. So, and you can actually hook it up to your blood pressure. And so you can do like it'll put it into a big chart, and then you can give it to the doctor. So to me, it's like all that stuff can be done at home, and it's just a great opportunity for people to, you know, just take control of their healthcare and then also have the information readily available to their physician.
And all of this stuff doesn't cost that much money either.
No, not at all. Nope. And I think, you know, from an emergency standpoint, I find this all to be very useful. Like, I look at it as a healthy home standpoint. Like, you should be able to be in your home and have appropriate care whenever you need it. So it kind of all ties together. You know what I'm saying? So if you want to have a good environment, I think that encompasses safety and health and public health and all of those things together. And your home is where it starts, as far as I'm concerned.
Just get back to the pulse ox, so people understand what it is. It's something that you put on your finger. Okay, you can't have nail polish because it won't read through the nail polish, and it measures the amount of oxygen saturation in your blood. Correct.
Correct. Yep. Okay. And then, you know, the reason it's so prevalent now with COVID, and a lot of people have them, is because COVID can present with a lower pulse ox level, and that you have trouble breathing, and that your oxygen saturation goes low, and that can be an indication that you need medical care. So people monitor it at home to try to keep an eye on it to make sure that doesn't happen.
Yeah, I think if it drops below, what is it, 94?
Yeah, 90. I think 94 starts to be concerned, but 90. I think 90 is the big number, but like that's what I've heard. But, you know, I'm not a physician. But you can ask your doctor. Your doctor will tell you what a safe level is.
All right, well, let's continue with this. It's fascinating stuff to me. And Kevin's going to take us to a break, and then just hang in there, and we will be back with more.
Kev? Yeah, Caroline, I love listening to just talk. I tell you, it's great to hear all that information. So hang with us. You're listening to Your Valuable Home right here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Tonight's edition of Your Valuable Home is brought to you by Tom Adams Windows and Carpets. Is your door letting in the heat or bugs?
Then head to Tom Adams Windows and Carpets to upgrade your old drafty door. Right now, save up to $900 on entry doors and up to 15% on storm doors. You can even save $500 on patio doors. Enjoy lifetime installation warranty on all their products. Their doors will be the last doors you buy for your home. Get a free in-home estimate. Go to TomAdamsWC.com. TomAdamsWC.com. Hurry, the sale ends August 9th. Home improvement projects on hold? Understandable. But some things just can't wait. Like failing windows, chances are there's water intrusion, possibly mold. Make the most of your money by doing critical projects in phases. Take windows. In phase one, tackle the one or two sides of the house that get the most weather. Phase two can wait till the coronavirus subsides and you have more money. Planning an in-law suite? In phase one, select the contractor and architect and get a design plan. Then in phase two, determine if you need a new septic system and secure permits. Kevin Kennedy's VSP Home Remodeling can help you figure out which projects to tackle now in phases. With VSP, you deal directly with the owner. Kevin and his foreman of 23 years are always part of the team. They do most of the installation and other work. With VSP, you get a licensed company with workers' comp and liability that exceeds the requirement and 30 years of award-winning on-time, on-budget excellence. VSP Home Remodeling. Call 215-364-3286 about those home improvement projects that just can't wait. 215-364-3286.
If you're starting a home project, let your valuable home help you avoid the pitfalls of a bad decision. Now back to Ron Milk and contractor Kevin Kennedy.
All right, thank you, listeners, for coming back to Your Valuable Home here. I tell you, just going off break right there, you know, one of the questions I know a couple of my buddies who I golf with were, I was telling them that you were going to be in the air, and I just had a question in my mind. Just the place where I golf, they are strict with their CDC guidelines, and they're following because they don't want to get anybody sick. They don't want to get their patrons or their employees sick, and I get it. But one of the questions that I had was that our place, there's no rakes in the bunkers because they don't want you touching the rakes. They don't want you touching anything on the course. You're playing at your own product, which means your balls, your gloves that you're playing with, and you stick with yourself. You stay social distance. But is that a problem for us if you're doing tennis or golf, that if you're touching something that you can get sick that way?
Yeah, I mean, I think the potential exists. That's why they're really, you know, trying to be really strict about it. Because if somebody, it comes down to if somebody's actively sick and they don't know it, and people go out all the time and they think they're just having allergies or, you know, they're coughing and they think, oh, it's just, you know, this isn't COVID. And then it touch something and then you immediately touch it after, the rate that it could transmit is a possibility. But from what I've read and seen, I don't think that they've actively, there's been a case of somebody picking this up from a transmission like that, from a surface contact. But I think they're doing it just to err on the side of caution. It seems to be predominantly that people have to catch it through an airspace. And that's why, from an indoor air quality perspective, we worry. Like, we worry that somebody comes into a space and they cough in that space, and this thing can linger in the air for 8 to 12 hours. And so anybody who comes in after that person is subject to it. And so that's why we are trying to utilize that UVC technology to clean that air. So if that air goes into that space, we pull it through the return, we air exchange it, we take that air out, and we sanitize it with the disinfection of the UV, and then put it back in so there's no worry. I think that's the bigger concern. It's the air quality and how this gets into the air and then how you walk through it or catch it. But, you know, I think to be on the safe side doesn't hurt anybody. And if that's what the CDC recommends, that's what we do. But I think ultimately it's about the transmission from an airborne perspective that I think is the most crucial, you know.
Is that airborne inside or outside?
Well, I mean, it would be any space. You know, it would be any space. If someone's breathing out, and you're able to walk through that space after them, you could catch that potentially outside or inside. It doesn't matter. But, you know, that's at the outside air, too, has a higher humidity potentially, which helps also deter the virus. The virus can't go as far. So if somebody coughs, for example, and you have high humidity, it prevents it from sort of proliferating and hanging in the air as long. So that's why, like, we look at, like, indoor air quality professionals, we look at the humidity level, we look at, you know, where the air exchanges are coming from, the ventilation, all that good stuff. You know, this is an airborne disease predominantly, so that's why it affects all of us so much, because it's going into airspace that we all share.
We all believe, I think three of us believe, and a lot of other people do too, that COVID round two is on its way, right? But what happens if we get a bad flu this year on top of COVID-19? How do you guard against that?
Well, that, and that's, again, that's also where the UVC technology, like when we're looking at homes, right? We've been utilizing these technologies for a long time to help purify the air, to sanitize the air. And I think, you know, you want to use something that is going to be, do less harm, not put something into the air quality that could, you know, potentially make people worse. And I think that's why the UVC works so well. It works against bacteria and viruses. I mean, that's why they use it at the hospital. So, you know, now we have those technologies to be able to use them in forced hot air systems. You know, what's interesting to think about is if you have something like a steam, right, Kevin, or you have a baseboard heat, you're going to propel a lot less of the germ around. It would be interesting to do a study to see, like, okay, if you have people in a residence that have steam or radiators versus people have forced hot air, what's the transmission rate of sickness in general? I would bet that you would get a lot less people in a building sick where you have a baseboard heat system, because you're working under, especially with steam, I believe you're working under like a convection versus something that's actually forcing the air out and taking that air and recirculating it. So it's interesting. You know, I think that depending on what kind of heat you have, as we move forward with this, I think it's really going to determine how healthy people are or not.
Yeah, and that makes a lot of sense to me. Any forced air system is going to be working to your detriment in a situation like mm-hmm. this, right? Just makes good common sense.
And I find it interesting, like, if you look at spaces like California and Texas and Florida right now, you know, we've gone, I mean, barring we're having this heat wave, which is a little out of the ordinary for us, but we've been able to spend much more time outside, right? We've had to use less conditioned air. And so the numbers dropped. And this may be just coincidental because we are also using face masks and trying to social distance, and all of that is obviously a part of it. But I find that when we have to go into these closed environments, so in the winter time here, we're going to have a much harder time because everything's recirculating. You're recirculating the virus, you're recirculating the air. Now in Florida and Texas and California, those spaces are very hot. So now those people were forced to go in and turn their air conditioning systems on because it's just too hot and humid to be out. And now they're having this outbreak. And I kind of think it definitely correlates back to these HVAC systems. And I don't think we're looking enough at how that affects us, because I just find it interesting that, you know, they were outside and they had much lower numbers, and then it got too hot and they had to go into a forced, you know, a conditioned airspace. And now all of a sudden they're having these outbreaks. So I definitely think that the air quality plays a bigger part in it than we realize.
Yeah, I think you're probably right about that. I haven't seen any studies about that either. Somebody should really, really wrap their mind around that and find out what's going on.
You know? Yeah, the only one study that we saw was the one out of Wuhan, which I do put a lot of stock in, and that was the restaurant where everybody was social distancing, like I said, and they got sick, and that was from the HVAC system. So that if that's one instance, I'm sure we have many, many more like that.
All right, we're down to 2 minutes. I want to cover something that you and I talked about the other day. Where do we go from here? Is there something out there, lingering out there, that could be worse than COVID-19? And we talked about this yesterday, and what is it?
Yeah, and I definitely, you know, my opinion, and again, it's always, you know, everyone's got an opinion, but I think that because of the climate change, because of the overpopulation that we're experiencing, I think that this is going to become more of a way of life for us. I think that there's other things that are potentially outbreak potential as well. You know, we've heard about Ebola. You know, Ebola, we were very close to having Ebola a couple years ago and have a massive outbreak, and that's a much more severe disease. You know, it's a much more dangerous disease. And so I think teaching us how to deal with these pandemics and how to, you know, mobilize ourselves to be effective against them is very important. I think this is just, in my opinion, it's a warm-up for things to come. And, you know, you and I talked about it. They had a bubonic plague outbreak in China recently, where they noticed it. And then also in Colorado, we had a couple weeks ago, or actually last week, where they tested squirrels and there was a bubonic plague. And people who understand what bubonic plague is, we had a big pandemic of that many years ago. So, you know, in the early, I think it was like 1900s, maybe late 1800s. So these things exist.
Caroline, got a question for you. How's somebody going to be able to get hold of you? We're running out of time here.
Sure. So it's healthyhomeexpert.com, or they can just type in My Healthy Home, which is the name of our company, and they can find us on social media and then on the web as well.
Caroline,
all right,
always
walking encyclopedia.
Fantastic. Great advice.
Thanks, guys.
All right, thanks for doing it. And you're listening to Your Valuable Home right here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. And thanks for listening.
Stay safe.
Thanks for listening to Your Valuable Home, a Jacob Media production. If you're interested in learning more about the power of the radio hour, contact Joe Kraus at 267-261-3428. This program is a paid commercial announcement and in no way represents the views of WPHT or its management.
Today's program has been pre-recorded.